Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to be looking at the parable of the sower today in Matthew 13. And the disciples came to Jesus, and they asked him, Jesus, why do you speak in parables? And so we might have that same question, why these little simple stories that have a point to them, have a point to point to Jesus, point to the gospel, and Jesus gives the explanation here to the disciples for the reason why he spoke in parables. In verse 10, Jesus, why do you speak in parables? And in verse 11, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has to him, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, said Jesus, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. And so Jesus is basically saying, I'm preaching a message to these people, I'm giving them the gospel, the good news of the gospel, but their eyes do not perceive, their eyes see, but they don't perceive, and their hearts are hard, and their hearts will not allow them to understand. And so therefore, Jesus said, I have to explain it to them in little simple stories called parables. I have to explain it to them in little simple stories so that they can understand what I'm trying to say to them. And when they start to finally understand, then their hearts will be open to receive, and they will understand, and then their eyes will be opened, and they will see, and they shall be healed. And so Jesus said, in the end time, it's going to be the deception of the devil that keeps these people from understanding, and the deception of the devil that keeps these people from seeing what I'm trying to show them and from hearing what I'm trying to say to them. And God's will is that our hearts be open. God's will is that we start to see what he wants us to see here on this earth, and we hear the message not only from him, but the message from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and that our hearts then become soft, and we start to receive the gospel message, the good news of the gospel, and that it changes our life, and that we are healed. And so that is God's will for you, my brother and sister. That is God's will for me, that we start to receive and we understand, and that our hearts are healed. And the healing that Jesus has for us is in the good news of the gospel. The healing is in his word, the message of the word. He sent his word and healed them. And God has given us his word to heal us, to deliver us, to set us free, to comfort us, to explain to us what's going on in this tumultuous world, this confusing world. And so it's God's will that we understand and that we know and that we perceive this world that we're living in, and we understand then the power of the gospel to change people's lives, and the power of the gospel to change our own life, and the power of the gospel to heal and to deliver. Well, in Matthew 13, if you look in verse 3, we'll start to then dissect the parable of the sower, and I consider this to be the greatest of all the parables, and it's one that I've preached in Africa many times. The people over there understand it, they love it, and it's very simple, it's very straightforward, and so that's the reason that we speak in parables, is to bring in a simple story, a message that conveys a powerful point. All right, verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and birds came and devoured them. And some seed fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so we see there are four different situations here. And of course, the sower is the one who is bringing the word of God. The sower is the one that is planting seeds or scattering seeds. That is what I consider to be my job as an evangelist, is to scatter seeds. And you never know, or I never know, and if you're sharing the gospel, you never know where those seeds are going to take root. You never know where those seeds are going to produce a crop of 160 and 30-fold. You never know who's going to receive, but your job as a believer, your job as one who is commanded and commissioned to share the good news of the gospel, your job is to share the good news with people, maybe in the marketplace, maybe at your job site, maybe with your children, maybe with your wife, or if you have a ministry, then with people that God has ordained you to minister to. But your job is to share the good news of the gospel and to let people know the healing and the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there are four different places here where Jesus says that the seed is sown. First of all, the seed is sown by the wayside, and birds come and grab it, and so it has no chance to take root, and so that doesn't even hit the soil when it's on the wayside. It's out there in the place where there is no soil at all. And the second place is the stony places. There's a little bit of soil there, but mostly it's rocks. It kind of reminds me of the place that we had down in Arkansas. You have to pick up a rock and put the corn seed down on the ground, and then you set the rock back on top of it. And so that's a picture of the stony places. And there in the stony places, it says that they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up. The seed immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Well, that describes farming in the place we were, the mountains in Arkansas. That describes it. Many times the seed would take root, but because there was no good soil there, when the sun got hot in the middle of the summer, the crop, unless it was really well fertilized, the crop would dry up and wither up and would not make any fruit. And then the third place where the seed was sown was in the thorns. And that is in verse 7, as some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. So that is the third place the seed is sown. And then the fourth place is in the good soil, where the seed lit in good soil. And I liken this to the soil out here in western Kansas. It's very good soil. You see an amazing wheat crop out there this year. And so the soil that is good will support a strong plant. It will support a strong root system, and so the plant has an opportunity then to yield back good fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold, which speaks of bountiful yields, and 100-fold especially speaks of a bumper harvest and a bountiful yield. Well, what is the interpretation of the parable of the sower? Jesus explains it here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, so look on down your page. And verse 18, it says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower." And this is Jesus giving the interpretation and the explanation for the parable that he just spoke to the disciples. In verse 18, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one who receives seed by the wayside." And so as an explanation to that, let me just say to you, beloved, that the enemy of your soul is trying to steal the word from you. He will never let you rest. He will never leave you alone. He will never quit tempting you or tempting your children. And so many of you probably have children. I do, that sometimes we wonder if they're hearing the word. Sometimes we wonder if they're understanding the word. And so this is what's happening. The seed gets sown by the wayside, but the enemy comes along, and the enemy knows the word of God. The enemy knows the plan of God. The enemy knows that Jesus Christ is coming back, and so the enemy knows his time is short here on this earth, and so the enemy does everything he can to keep people's eyes blinded and keep their hearts hard and keep their ears dull so that they cannot hear the word and they cannot understand it. And really, the gospel message is very simple. It's not a complex message. Jesus died for us on the cross. He shed his precious blood for you and for me. And it's not a complex message. Even children can understand it. My grandchildren can understand it. Your grandchildren can understand it. People can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ when they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. And many do. And many have a knowledge and an understanding of their sin and their need to repent. And so it's not a complex message, but the devil does everything he can to confuse people and to keep them from understanding and to keep their hearts from perceiving and their eyes from perceiving what the truth of the message is. Well, in verse 21, Jesus goes on to say, "But he who received seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." And so this would describe somebody, probably a younger person many times, not necessarily, but many times a younger person, they go to church camp or they go to some kind of a revival meeting or a youth meeting, and they receive the word with joy, and it strikes a note and a chord in their heart, and they receive it with joy, and yet they go back to their daily life, they go back to where they came from, and then the persecution of the world starts to attack them. Their friends start to attack them and say, "You're not really sold out on this religion stuff, are you? You're not really sold out on Jesus Christ, are you?" And so the persecution of the world then snatches that seed away. And we see this very same thing in prison ministry. Many men come to know the Lord in prison. Many people, because they're broken when they come to prison, they get an excitement for the Lord. They walk with him for a little while. But then when they go back out into the world, then they go back to their neighborhood. They go back to their friends, and their friends start to mock them. Their friends start to persecute them. And as a result of that, they're not able to stand up to the persecution, and so they drift back into their life of sin. They drift back into the place that they were before they received the blessings of the gospel. Well, beloved, let me tell you, if you walk with Jesus, if you walk with him and serve him, you are going to be persecuted. There's no question about that. You're going to be persecuted. You will suffer for the gospel's sake if you're serious about it. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." In verse 14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." And so Paul tells Timothy, we're going to suffer. Everybody that knows the gospel and practices the gospel, get used to the idea you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer persecution. And if you don't think you can take it, I guess you might as well check out right now, because there's no point in going forward without understanding that you're going to be persecuted. First, it's going to maybe come from your friends, your old circle of friends that you used to hang with. It may even come from people in the church. It may even come from pastors and people who have leadership positions in the church. If you really seek the Lord, with all of your heart, strength, mind, and soul. You're going to be persecuted. People will try to slow you down, and they may even be Christians, as I spoke before. They may have desire to know Jesus himself, but if they see you out there too far ahead, and they see you seeking the Lord and going after him with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, they're going to come against you, and you will be persecuted. Matthew 5:11, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so Jesus said, you're going to be persecuted, that people are going to say evil against you, they're going to smear your name, they're going to tell you that you are a faker, that you really haven't found anything, that it's all a mirage, it's all just a hoax, that you're putting your hope in something that is false. And so if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, beloved, get ready, because Jesus died. He hung on that cross. All of the disciples gave their life for the gospel's sake. All of them were martyred and persecuted in unimaginable ways, and so you're going to receive some persecution. And if you are a Christian today and you're not receiving any persecution, you should take a look at your Christian life and say, what am I really doing for the gospel that I'm not receiving any persecution? You should look at your life and just take stock and say, what am I really doing? There's something wrong if I'm not being persecuted for the gospel's sake. And so that is the stony place. Those that are persecuted drop out. They drift away. They know the gospel. They receive it with joy. But because they can't handle the persecution that comes from the world, then they drop away and they then drift back into the world of the backslider. Well, in verse 22, "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Well, this is a big problem in America today, the desire for riches. Many people know the gospel. There isn't anybody, I don't think, hardly in America that hasn't heard the good news of the gospel. Every single person has heard Christian radio or Christian TV, TBN, or some media form. Even Facebook is covered with gospel messages and scripture, and many people post good things on Facebook. And so I believe every single person in America has heard the gospel, and if they haven't, they've got their head in the sand. But many people get the gospel message choked out by riches. Many people get the gospel message choked out by their desire to make a living, and so they get trapped in working, the workaholism of trying to keep up with the Joneses and a big house that they can't afford and many nice cars that they can't afford, all kinds of entertainment and hobbies that they can't afford, and they work hard to impress people they don't know, and they go in debt to impress people that don't even care about them. And so this is the American way. Many women out there in the marketplace that are working, that should be home with their children, seeing that their children are being taken care of and taught at a young age. And so this is the riches of the world that comes in, and it chokes out that seed, and like the seed growing up in a thorny place. And so the seed takes root, it puts down a root system, and it starts to grow. But because the desire for riches is so overpowering and so overwhelming, it chokes out that seed, and therefore there is no fruit produced, there is no harvest, and so the seed then is also gone to waste. Well, in verse 23 is the good news of this parable. It's the seed that produces a harvest. It's the seed that produces that bountiful yield. And so this is what we desire when we sow seed, is that people come to know the Lord Jesus, that it takes root, that it actually blooms, that it produces fruit, and there is a good yield and a bumper harvest. And again, I think about the wheat fields now. Look out there this year to see that beautiful wheat. There's some fabulous wheat yields out there, I'm sure, ready in this area to be harvested. And so in verse 23, Jesus talks about that great harvest. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And so this is the good seed. This is the seed in the good ground, that fertile ground. And this is God's desire for you, my beloved, is to receive that word and then to be fruitful and to produce a bountiful yield. And so when the harvester comes, there's something there to put in the bin. There's something there to show for the seed that has been planted in your heart. Well, in Mark 10, verse 29, Jesus tells the disciples, "Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands or farms for my sake and the gospel's sake, who shall not receive a hundredfold blessing now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And so Jesus says that when you leave your house, and you leave your farm, and you leave your wife, and your mother, and your father, and your sister, and your children, this isn't a prescription for divorce or abandoning your family, but Jesus is just saying, when you put those things aside, put the gospel ahead of them, and sharing the gospel ahead of them, and you make a sacrifice to go out there and share the gospel. You make a sacrifice to leave that which is comfortable for you, and you go out into the world and you share the good news of the gospel. Jesus says, then you're going to receive in this age 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing, and in the age to come, you're going to receive eternal life. And also, he says, you're going to receive persecutions. There's that word again. You can expect it. You're going to have it. If you really get serious about sharing the gospel, you're going to have persecutions. So you better get your prayer mat out, or you better get into your prayer closet and get ready to pray, because you are going to receive persecutions along with that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing, and along with that eternal life. You're going to receive your great reward when you go out and you share the gospel, and you are going to receive that great reward that comes with producing fruit and producing that bumper harvest for the gospel's sake. Well, beloved, I hope that you are producing the fruit of the good news of the gospel. I hope that you are producing that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing in your life. And I hope that you are looking for that harvest. In Matthew 9, I'm going to close with this scripture, Matthew 9, verse 37. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And so we pray for the strength to go out and harvest that which Jesus has given us to harvest. We pray for the strength to go out and sow seed into the rocky places, into the stony places, into the thorny places, into the wayside. We just sow seed, and we pray that the Lord will send out laborers. We pray that the Lord will send water to water that seed, and he'll send out sunshine to nurture that seed. And if you are serious about sharing the gospel, beloved, you're going to be persecuted, but the blessings of knowing that you're working for the kingdom, the fulfillment and the joy of knowing that you're working for the kingdom, that will surpass any persecution that you undergo. It will surpass any trial and tribulation that you have to endure. And as you go out and sow that seed and watch that harvest come in, you will be blessed 30, 60, and 100-fold. You'll have great joy. You'll have fulfillment, and you will know this is what God has called you to do. Beloved, I hope that is you today. If it isn't, make a commitment to get out there and sow seed. Make a commitment to share the good news of the gospel. Make a commitment to make your life have an impact for the kingdom's sake here on this earth make a commitment to really do something to move the kingdom forward and to receive that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing. Well, beloved, we want to continue to bring these messages to you. We are a listener-supported radio ministry. I ask you to pray for us as we are in Africa right now at this time. My team and I are out at the orphanage site in Kenya, and so I ask you to pray for us. I ask you also to support this ministry. Pick up your checkbook and write out a check, or you can go to my website and make a contribution with your credit card on PayPal. And so I ask for your support. I ask for your prayers. And we have contact information coming up here in just a minute. And so stay tuned for that. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week and have a great week.